Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 64th Psalm, Psalm 64. And let us sing from 234 stanzas 2 through 5. O God, the proud against me rise, the wicked who delight in strife. They set not thee before their eyes, and they seek to take away my life. 2 through 5 of Psalter 234.
read from Scripture, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 64, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may receive this great privilege to enter into thy house in this afternoon hour. And thou knowest all that has taken place in this morning hour, and that it was necessary for us to close the doors of thy house and to go once again unto our own homes. And thou knowest how that it was in the heart of each and every one. And then it could be that there were those who were glad, that they could go back unto their home again. Lord, thou knowest what we are by nature. Then there is no desire for thee, and there is no place and no desire for thy holy word. Wilt thou grant us true conversion and grant that need to be born within our hearts, especially in the days of our youth, that we may love, that we may serve, that we may seek the Lord and while he is yet to be found. But thou knowest there may also have been those who were disappointed, and that had come to hear what thou had to say unto them. Could it be that there were some that were surprised, and that thou didst speak even through the sung word? But Lord, thou givest us to be together again in this afternoon hour, and thou teachest us that it is a great privilege, which can be cut off at any moment, that thou may remember all those in this world who have no opportunity to gather under thy word, for whom thy word in its truth is strange unto them, who have maybe no desire to come. Lord, that thou may bring thy word unto the ends of the world, that thou may give thy word free course in the mouth of thy truly sent servants, that thou would increase their number, and that thou may bring in thy own kingdom, that 144,000 may be brought in, for the least one shall not be left behind, before that this world shall be involved in a great conflagration, so that the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Oh, that thou may cause us to hasten for the sake of our life, as thou didst say unto a lot of old, flee for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. That the danger of our life, that we have a soul destined for eternity, may be bound upon our hearts. That the privilege of thy truth being read and proclaimed unto us, and may be sanctified to our hearts while it is called today. And that thou may look upon each and every one of thy own children. Do draw their hearts unto thee, by renewal, and that it is not only after thee the true and the living God, but may it be also after thee the only begotten Son, and that thou may make him to be necessary in the life of thy people. For there is so much that a man has to do with his own righteousness, that he will pay his own price, and that there is no need for that redemption in his soul, even when that fear of thee has been planted within his heart. Then he needs to be stripped of everything, and it is a way that is not understood. It is a way that is not acceptable to our flesh. But it is a way wherein thou wilt lead all thy dear children, to bring them in that place where they are not able to save themselves, that they may receive that blessed eye that may look out unto thee, who has accomplished everything for thy people. Oh, that thou may give thy church an eye to look upon him also by renewal. For it is necessary day by day, and because we cannot win that warfare against sin, and it is the daily experience of thy people with thy servant of old, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. O wretched man that I am, and if they have no eye to see thee, in all that thou hast accomplished, and then it is by renewal again a life of despairing. But when thou wilt give to see something once again of what thou hast done for a sinful and a rebellious people, then they may glory in thee alone, and then they may leave that old covenant, and then they may cleave by faith unto thee, and they may receive that rest and that peace that belongeth unto the children of God. Oh, that thou may show it unto them by renewal, and give them to live it day by day, that they may be an example also unto others. Do remember all the afflicted and all the sick ones. Thou knowest where that they are. Wilt thou supply for all that are distressed? Lord, thou alone hast all the power in heaven and in earth. But thou alone art also able to prepare us to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Oh, that thou mayst supply for those that have become old. And wilt thou give a little courage in the end of the way, and that it may be experienced to be the best time of their life. Remember the children, the young people, when they will soon begin school once again. Remember the teachers, the instructors, when in this week they hope to begin their tasks once again. Thy servant who will lead in a prayer service in this week, may thou be on his right and on his left hand. Give him traveling mercies. Give him wisdom from above and the unction of thy Holy Spirit. May thou give us together a desire to be under thy word of truth continually. Help those that labor in our school. Lord, that thou may be on their right and on their left, and that thou may give unto them strength from above. Give them courage to begin again. And that thou may give that blessed way of self-denial in that labor that they have chosen in their life, that they may give themselves to that very worthy work, and that our students and our children, our young people, that they may receive hearts, that they may be obedient unto their teachers, unto their parents, and that they may also be desirous of being instructed. Do show to them their ignorance. Give them to ask it of thee, that thou would be their teacher. Wilt thou look upon us in this afternoon? Lord, help us in the bringing of thy word. Strengthen us for the labors of our hands. Give unto us opening in thy word. Give unto us that urgency that belongs upon thy pulpit. And wilt thou give that need that is in the heart of each and every man as he travels to eternity, and may be bound upon our heart, that we may speak as a dying man unto dying men, and that thou thyself may glorify thyself. Amidst all our shortcomings and sinfulness, do forgive and take away all that is amiss in thy holy sight, and lead thou us into all thy truth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 165, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Hear, Lord, the voice of my complaint. Preserve my life from fear. Hide me from plotting enemies and evil crowding near. And what follows in Psalter 165, all stanzas in the last collection today, is for the Bethesda Care Home. the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The Lord's portion, congregation, is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. An inheritance that is coming when a person of some means is passing out of this world. And then each one of his children, they are receiving a portion. And thus we can read also of the Lord's portion. And we know what was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a portion. That was an inheritance. For the Lord's portion is his people. And what do we read? He kept him as the apple of his eye. What is the apple of the eye? The apple of the eye is the middle of our eye. Very tender portion of our eye. Children, then you will not let anyone touch your eye, will you? That is a most sensitive part of your body. If someone is going to just touch the apple of your eye, then you are fighting it. Then you are keeping him away from you as hard as you possibly can. What do we read in God's Word? That the Lord, that he is keeping his people as the apple of his eye. Because by Zechariah, the Lord says that he that toucheth his people touches the apple of his eye. Peninnah did not know that. When in her pride, when in her arrogancy, she was mocking with Hannah. But Hannah is afterward warning, not just merely a Peninnah, but Hannah is warning all the enemies of God's church. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of that with you in this afternoon out of the words of our text. 1 Samuel chapter 2, the third verse. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So far, the words of our text, a serious warning to the enemies of God's church. First, proud enemies. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. Second, a God of knowledge. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. And third, weighed actions. And by him, actions are weighed. Thus, a serious warning to the enemies of God's church. First, proud enemies. Second, a God of knowledge. And third, weighed actions. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. What is that? pride. Pride, congregation, that is an overestimation of myself. The Apostle Paul speaks about thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Thus, pride, that is something that is inward. Pride is something that is living within the heart, within the mind. But there is more. Because pride is in a very special way a comparison. Pride compares myself to my fellow man. Pride lifts up myself in estimation of my goodness, of my worthiness, of my superiority, somehow over my fellow man. And perhaps not even merely over my fellow man, but even pride that is lifting itself up over God Himself. Pride is not the same thing as what we sometimes call self-approbation. That is maybe a hard word, children. Self-approbation, or maybe we can say self-approval. What is that? Self-approbation. That is that delight that a man is taking, that he is feeling within himself when he is doing what is right. Then when we do what is right, and when our mind knows that what we have done, that was the right thing, what we ought to have done, then there is a feeling of satisfaction. That feeling is not in and of itself pride, because that is not comparing myself with my fellow man, but it is comparing my action to that which is moral. It is comparing what I have done to that word of God. Peter speaks about the answer of a good conscience. And the answer of a good conscience is not pride. No, the Apostle Paul, he said, and that I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And then he may say that without that worldly pride. Pride, that is also not the same thing as that approval or that approbation that we receive when we do what is right from our neighbor. That feeling of satisfaction when my neighbor approves that I walk according to that which is according to that word of God. There was a father one time. He said, I do not praise my children because I am afraid that they will become proud. This congregation is incorrect. We must praise our children when they are doing what is right. Husbands are commanded by the Lord even to praise their wives. You can read that in Proverbs 31. When they are doing well, thus that approbation that is being received, that is not pride, Obadiah, He said to Elijah, "Was it not told to my Lord what thy servant did when Jezebel had slain the prophets of the Lord with the sword? How that I have hid them by fifties in a cave, and have fed them with bread and water?" No, he did not do it in order that he may receive the approval of Elijah. That would be wrong. But he did it out of duty. And then that approval that he receives for what he has done, that is right. Sometimes a person may say, "I do not care what another person thinks of me." In the first place, that is not true, because we all care what each other think of us. In the second place, we ought to care. And why should we care? Because we should care what the Lord thinks of us, whether we do what is right or whether we do what is wrong. And the Lord has placed in our neighbor also a conscience that makes a judgment about what is right and what is wrong about my actions. And therefore, I certainly should care whether my neighbor believes that I do right or that I do wrong. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Pride, that is something different. Pride is an overestimation of myself, that is, upon looking at another man in comparison to another man, or even over against God Himself. Maybe that we are in a much better financial situation than another man. And then we are in our heart lifting ourselves up, that we have a supposed superiority over another man who is poor. That is pride. Children, you hope next week to begin school again, and then it can be that you are also by times lifted up in pride. Maybe that you are much stronger than your fellow student. Or maybe you are much more intelligent. Or maybe you have some other ability that your neighbor does not have. Then it is not wrong for you to know that. It is not wrong for you to recognize that that is the way it is. But it is so wrong for us to be lifted up in sinful pride. Maybe we have a successful business, and then we are somehow supposedly thinking that we are somewhat better than those who are only workers. Maybe that we are lifted up because we have an office, and then we lift ourselves up over against those who are what we consider to be a mere member of the church. What did the Pharisee say? He said, "This people that know not the law are cursed." Maybe we come from a certain family, a very prominent family, and then somehow we think that we are just a little better or a little bit more special. There is also an intellectual pride. And that is, congregation, not just to know that in my mind that I know more than my neighbor knows, because that can be done without pride. We know that we know more than our children, parents, but that does not make us proud. But when we are now, because of our greater knowledge, because of our greater gifts, lifting ourselves up, elevating ourselves over our neighbor. This is pride. And we could read in God's Word how that this pride that is elevating itself over God Himself, then we think to know better than God. When we do not receive the Word of God as He says it, by faith, but think that our reasonings, and they are better, and they are able to come in the place and above that holy Word of God. Pride. Spiritual pride. What is it? It is an overestimation of my own goodness. We read the Pharisees. They said, stand by, come not near unto me, for I am holier than thou. That showed even in their most holy duties. O Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, even as this publican. The Pharisees gloried in what? They gloried that they were the children of Abraham, that they were not in bondage to any man. They were the favorites of heaven. They received special privileges. They received special rights. Congregation, how is it with us? Do we also have that spiritual pride living in our own heart? When we look upon our neighbor in this world who does not receive that same education, that is not sitting under that same truth, and then somehow to think that we are superior unto our fellow man, that is a very dangerous thing. And why is it so very dangerous? Well, because it is not true. Because it is a false estimation of myself. Then I do not really see it as it truly is before God. And when that judgment day shall appear, then I shall understand when I am placed side by side with all my neighbors in this world, and that the Lord, He has no respect of persons. That is a very dangerous thing, that spiritual pride. Why? Not only because it is not true, a false estimation of myself, but also because I need to be saved. How can I be saved when I do not see that I need a righteousness greater than my own? And when I think my own to be sufficient, and I am lifted up in my own righteousness, then there will never in such a way be a place in my life for the righteousness of that Son of God. We can read in God's Word that also God's children, they can be lifted up with a spiritual pride. That is when they receive gifts from the Lord. That they can begin to think themselves superior unto their fellow men. The Apostle Paul said that was the reason that the Lord had to give to him a thorn in his flesh. The messenger of Satan, he said, to buffet me. Why? Because of, he said, the abundance of the revelations. Paul received so much revelation from the Lord. And that in himself, he would lift up himself over his fellow men. Very dangerous. That is making the people of the Lord slothful. That they are looking down also upon others. Sometimes we say that there are three marks of grace. The first one is humility. The second one is humility. And the third one is humility. What is humility? Humility is the lack of pride. Humility sees no importance, no special signification in myself, not before God, not before men. It is rather the opposite. That humility that views myself in my insignificance, it views myself in my unimportance, in my unworthiness. How are we created? Man was created in the very image of God Himself. What is an image, children? An image. That is, we would say, a picture. Man was created in the image of God. And when man was created in that image of God Himself, there was no pride in it. But that pride soon came. That was in the fall, when with that image, man lifted himself up over and above God Himself, that he may become a God unto himself. So we are born. That was our father Adam. That is you and I. That pride is living in the deepest recesses of our hearts. When does that change? That changes in that new birth. That changes in regeneration. How does that change? Well, the Lord begins to restore that image. That image is knowledge, righteousness, holiness. The Lord begins to give knowledge. That true knowledge. Then he has lost the knowledge of God. And when he has lost the knowledge of God, he has lost the knowledge of himself. And the Lord, he begins to restore that knowledge. So that man begins to see who and what he is in the light of the knowledge of God. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Every sight by the revelation of the Spirit of God, of that true and that living God, is doing the same. To make a man abhor himself and to bring him to see who he is in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. Pride that is worked, that is incited in my heart, when I consider myself over against everything that I believe to be inferior to me. Thus pride that is always looking down. And that pride that is always glorying in the fact that it is superior to someone who is below me. Humility, that is now just the opposite. Humility is worked by a consideration of myself over against everything that I see to be superior to me, higher than me. That's humility that is not looking down, but humility that is always looking up. What does the Lord do in that new birth? He takes a man in his pride, who is comparing himself always to his fellow men, and he makes a man to look up. And the Lord says, now look upon me. And there a man goes, in that dust of self-abasement. And the more that he learns about the creation of the Lord, the lower that he comes. And the more that he learns about the attributes of God, then the more humble his heart is made. And the works of God and the redemption of the Lord. Thus, we have a situation in the world, because there are only two kinds of people in the world. And who are they? They are God's children, and they are those that are not God's children. And that people, they have been made what? Humble. Then they see themselves in the light of God's countenance. And every one of the rest, they are unhumbled. Whether they are in the church, or whether they are in the world, they have never been humbled under that mighty hand of God. Thus there is that people that have been humbled, and that people that have never yet received that true humility, they are actually the enemies of the church of God. Whether they are in the church, or whether they are outside its walls, And those enemies, they are sometimes having so much influence, so much power over that true people of the Lord. In their humility. We heard it last time. We heard it from the life of Hannah. We heard it out of the mouth of Peninnah. But now Hannah, she says, God is a God of knowledge. That is our second thought. And we have not yet spoken about deeds. We have only spoken about thoughts. The thoughts of the heart, that pride that is living, that is growing, that is festering in the heart of a man. And Hannah says, it is all known unto the Lord. God is a God of knowledge. And how loathsome is this sin of pride unto him. Why? Because he knows where it comes from. He has seen the beginnings of it. That was already in heaven itself. When the angels have lifted themselves up against God, then he has seen that it is coming out of rebellion. And then not only after Satan was cast away, but then also by our first parents. Thus, he knows how satanic that pride is. That is now it by which Satan has encouraged our parents, that they themselves may lift up themselves against God. And it is by that pride that a man, he is bound unto the way, unto the nature, unto the character of Satan himself. Oh, the Lord knows. God is a God of knowledge. The Lord knows that it is a great lie. The Lord knows that it is a false estimation of ourself. There is no reason why that any man should lift up himself over his neighbor. Because we read in God's word, every gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. Thus we give them not to ourselves. For what reason then has a man to lift himself up in some supposed superiority over his brother? The Lord knows what a great lie it is, because every one of us are together involved in the same sin. We can read that in the Word of God. Who can put his hand into his own bosom and pull it out clean? The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there was any that did fear him, if there was any that did seek God. And then he says, they are all cast of one cloth. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. O God, he is a God of knowledge. He knows the selfishness of this sin. He knows also that this sin is coming out of man's ignorance. Why? Because man, he does not compare himself to the right standard when he compares himself to his fellow man. He does not compare himself to God himself. He does not compare himself to the Word of God. God is a God of knowledge. He knows also what is necessary. He knows this needs to be stripped out of us if we would fear Him. He knows that if we should be saved, that this must be taken away step by step. Maybe through some trial. Maybe through some affliction. Where we have to experience that we are not God. He also knows that when that people are under trial and when that people are under affliction, how that enemy, that proud enemy, that unhumbled enemy is taking advantage of his people. Then he has said unto Esau's children, why have you looked upon your brother in the day of his affliction? You have rejoiced over them, and when they had to go into that land of bondage, then you have lifted yourself up as if you were somewhat better. But that enemy says, how does God know? Is there knowledge with the Most High? Sometimes God's children, they say the same thing. Does He know? Is there knowledge with the Most High? Moses was 80 years old when he was sent to deliver the children of Israel. The day he was born, they were already casting these children into the river. How many years did that people not have to suffer under the affliction of that proud enemy when they themselves were by the mighty hand of God being instructed in that way of a blessed humility? But now Hannah says, wait a moment, enemies. Wait a moment. Because God is a God of knowledge. Let us sing first. Psalter 19, 2, 3, and 4. Do thou, O Lord, arise. O God, lift up thy hand. Forget thou not the suffering poor, the humble in the land. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 19.
Thank you.
Hosanna, in our last thought, she does not only say that the Lord is a God of knowledge, but she also says, by Him, actions are weighed. Thus, pride that is living in the heart. But pride that is also bringing forth words and actions. Hannah says, talk. No more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of thy mouth. And in the next verse, we can read that she speaks about the bows of the mighty. The bows wherewith they shoot their arrows. Thus pride that is bringing forth fruits. There are two fruits of pride. One is vanity. The other is arrogance. Vanity. That is just that a man, he wants to display his superiority before everyone so that everyone can see it. That is not so harmful to everyone else except that it is contagious and that it is a very bad example. But arrogance, that is more. Arrogance that is very directly harmful to one another. Arrogance that is malignant. Arrogance has a desire to inflict pain and to make my neighbor to feel that I am superior and that you are inferior. How many times, young people, when school is beginning again, is there not such an arrogance taking place among our students? We call it bullying, where one thinks himself to be superior. And he has a desire to make the others feel it and to know that they are inferior to him. That can be done in such subtle ways that none of the instructors can find it, can know of it. But do you know what Hannah says? She says, the Lord is a God of knowledge. And not only is he a God of knowledge, but she says, by him, actions are weighed. That means that the Lord may seem just to look on, that nothing happens, but that will not always be. Hannah experienced that in her life. Hannah knew it for herself. And therefore she warns those enemies of the church of God. She does not just say Peninnah, but then she is speaking for the true people of the Lord, the true church of the Lord of all ages. And then she is speaking unto the enemies of that church, and she is saying unto them, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. King Pharaoh was not just vain, but King Pharaoh was very arrogant. Who is the Lord that I should let the children of Israel go? I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. We read the same of Rabbi Shaki when he is coming against Jerusalem and when he is mocking with Israel's God and when he is comparing him to all the gods of the people of the land. And he says, where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpah? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hina and Iva? That the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? That is the arrogance that is coming out of his mouth because of the pride that is living in his heart. And that is not only against God himself, but it is against the people of the Lord. Because Hannah, she speaks about the bows of the mighty. So it says actually the bow heroes, the heroes of the bow, and that are shooting their arrows at the humble. Goliath cursed David by his gods. He says, come near to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Or do you think those bow heroes, that they do not make God's children by times to tremble? That was no small faith in the life of David that was necessary to overcome this mocking of this enemy. Nebuchadnezzar, he set before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that burning fiery furnace. Make it 7 times hotter than it is. And who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, humble Hannah says. Oh, do you know, congregation, also such bow heroes in your life? Because God's church, that is not a stranger of those bow heroes. They are not strangers of the pride, and they are not strangers of the arrogancy that is coming out of their mouth. That makes them by times to fear. They are mocking, purposely mocking. And do you know what Satan will have them to feel? His power, his superiority. They wish to cause pain. The pain of despair of hope. The pain of the despair of God. That he has you in his grasp. And that there is no hope for you. Maybe you know something that of that in your life, young people. Do you ever hear the arrogancy of the devil in your own heart? Does he ever say to you, the Bible? That is not true. He dares say anything. God, he does not exist. That is for people who are uneducated. It is just mysticism. You must look to science. You must look to reasoning. They are the things we can see. They are the things we can know. They are the things that we can prove. They are the things that are true. Do you ever feel Him? And do you ever feel your heart wavering under this bow hero? Maybe He says that to us, congregation. When He says, look how long now you have been praying, fathers and mothers. And you still have nothing. It is false, that religion. Just look around you. Look at the other Christians. They are happy. They have believed. They are saved. They have it. Their tears are dried. And so that bow hero, he is mocking at your tears. He is mocking at your crying. He is mocking at your supplications and your waiting upon God. Oh, do you know something of that arrogancy of the devil, old ones in our midst? Then he says to you, he says, you are too old. Your heart is too hard. It is as hard as that nether millstone. You are not able to be converted anymore because the Lord only converts a man in his youth. There was an old man. His wife, she did not have her mind anymore. She was laying in the bed. And he was sitting. She says, what are you doing? He says, I am praying. Do you know what she said? She says, come to bed. It doesn't help anyway. Oh, to the last breath, to our very old age, those bow heroes, that devil, he is busy. To make a man think there is no hope. There is no hope in God. The devil says, I am superior. I have you in my grasp. And it is now impossible for this reason or for that reason for you to be saved. But now Hannah, do you know what she says? She says, enemies. She says, talk no more exceeding proudly. And let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by Him actions are weighed. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He says, shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? O God, He is a God of knowledge. By Him actions are weighed. Everything that that devil says in your heart, every word that he is speaking that is known unto the Lord. Or he will not permit. He is watching over his people as the apple of his eye. Jacob did not know it, but the Lord rebuked Laban. He says, see, that thou speak not unto Jacob either good or bad. Elisha says to his servant, says to the Lord, Lord, open my servant's eyes. Then he can see. chariots, of horses of fire, round about God's servant. Oh, the Lord will not permit himself to be mocked. The Lord will not permit that his people are harmed by that enemy. David, he spoke about that people when they were coming through the wilderness. And he spoke about the protection of the Lord. And he says that the Lord suffered no man to do them wrong. That he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my people no harm. To Abimelech he said, you are but a dead man, because that woman that you have, she is a man's wife. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. That arrogant mouth of Pharaoh that was silenced in the sea, that arrogant mouth of Goliath that was silenced by a sling and a stone, that arrogant mouth of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram that was silenced in the pit of the earth, and that arrogant mouth of Satan that is soon going to be silenced in the pit of hell. So says Hannah. Because the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And then it is a warning unto those proud enemies of his church, but it is a blessed comfort and a consolation unto his people. Because that justice that may be long in coming, but it will not stay away forever. It is impossible, because God is just. And otherwise God would not be God anymore. Oh, for that church, that justice that is satisfied already upon that cursed tree. But there is a punishment that is going to come down upon the head of all the enemies of God and his people. Congregation, where will we stand? There shall come in the last days scoffers. They shall be mocking. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Does that mocker say that inside your heart too? Oh, that mocker, that scoffer, he is soon going to be silenced. O congregation, let not Satan tell you that there is no hope. That is directly contrary to that holy word of God. Concerning what the Lord says in his word about the chiefest of the sinners. No sin too great. What does he say? He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest all the mockers that can be within the hearts of each and every one of us. As Satan, he is mocking by day and by night. Oh, that thou may look upon us all together, that we may not believe him over thy holy word. For he is cast away from thee, but he's still permitted by thee yet to do his work, to bruise thy heel, And thou knowest that we have no power in and of ourselves. Oh, that we may flee unto thee, who art able to give an answer even unto the devil. Even as we can read of a Hannah of old, wilt thou bring us now safely to our places? Look upon us in the rest of this thy day. Give us a desire to read thy holy scriptures. Give us to believe thy word. Give us to receive it as thy word. Give us to seek thee while thou art to be found. And wilt thou give us a place in our inner chambers before thee? Remember us in the week to come. Watch over fathers and mothers. Watch over children. Watch over each and every one of us in the home and by the way. Keep from a sudden and an unprepared death. And teach us daily that fear of thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. 96, 1 through 4. Rest in the Lord and be thou still. With patience wait his holy will, enduring to the end. Fret not those sinners' gains increase. Forsake thy wrath, from anger cease. It will to evil tend. 96, all stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.